Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shir number 22 in the Shiurim for Women. We're going to talk about Wisdom Each Day by Rav Tversky. Very practical advice on how to better our lives, to have a healthier and more peaceful and calmer and clearer life. So the Pasuk in Mishlei says, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki Chinam Mizera Hareshes Be'enei Kol Bal Konof. The winged bird thinks that there's no purpose for the snare, for the trap. What happens is people who want to trap birds, they spread this wheat kernels and beans and some things that birds eat, spreading it out over a trap, over a net. And they go down and they eat from it, and then the one who catches them closes the net, and they catch the bird in them. Now, the bird itself just sees the food, doesn't grasp that it's a trap. It sees the food it craves. It doesn't pay attention to the net that surrounds the food. What does the bird think when it sees the net around the food? Doesn't it realize that it was not placed there, you know, for any other reason other than to close the trap, and that it goes to trap that bird? The bird ignores the net. Its single-mindedness is drawn to the bait because of the food. And then the snare clamps it shut, and the bird loses its freedom, sometimes its life. And it's a mashal for us. Shlomo HaMelech, when he gives these analogies, it's really for us. We behave this way very often in our lives. We're drawn to things that promise us pleasure. We may be focused on the lure which is oblivious to us, the snare, the trap that surrounds it. Such as addicts that are drawn to cocaine and heroin, alcohol. They're oblivious of the dangers they're in and even the lethal consequences. Like a bird that is described here in Mishlei, they ignore the snare and the trap that will close and trap them. Compulsive gambler, every addictive personality has this within them. They're oblivious to the total destruction that will happen if they follow those indulgences. But the thing is, what we all need to know, for us that are not addicted to anything, nevertheless, we have these issues with life. We often make unwise judgment, which could be sometimes because of our desire for pleasure, that it blinds us for the potential harm of our actions. Sometimes it's our emotions that get the best of us. Now, birds do not have the ability to reason, so they're easily trapped. We have within us the exercise the ability to think and to analyze and to avoid the dangers of certain pleasures and certain tests that are there in this world. Especially women who have Bina Yaseira, they have certain additional understanding to, from here forward, to utilize that. And again, we always say this very, very often. There are two particular prayers that are very, very beneficial to save a person from going forward, falling into these type of traps. Number one is the bracha that you say, the first bracha that you ask for in Shmoneh Esrei in the weekdays, Atochayni Latan Das, asking Hashem for wisdom. And this part of this wisdom is to recognize what's healthy and what's unhealthy, what is a trap and what isn't, and ask Hashem for special wisdom to protect you from these type of traps that could hurt you. Number two is Hashkivenu, that we say by Ma'ariv, or that many say by Kriyat Shema Lamita. V'sakneinu be'etzotayv mufanecha, you're asking Hashem to give you good counsel, good advice. This is a prayer for good advice for yourself as well as for others. To have the wisdom to give healthy advice to yourself and to others. And the advice to yourself would be how to have a healthy self-preservation, not just for your body, but for your soul. So that is one yesod from this Mishlei, to recognize traps in the world and ask Hashem for special siyata d'shmaya. I know, humbly admit, I think all humans do that all through the past. We fall into these traps. I have fallen into these traps. We all have. And we can't get down about it. We ask Hashem to forgive us, and then we ask Hashem to help us learn the lessons from it and move on. We're not supposed to be discouraged. We have every right to expect the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that cleans us, that forgets and forgives, literally forgets, literally forgives. Every Yom Kippur burden is off, so we don't have to agonize over the past. It's a matter of just what to do going forward. And going forward, you ask Hashem, Hashem, please, till now whatever happened, happened, but help me, grant me the wisdom and the ability to lead a healthy life, a healthy, good life. So that's one lesson. A second lesson is based on a pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Ches, pasuk Yotes, to love, truth, and peace. That's the pasuk, love, truth, and peace. Now, Rav Moshe Yechiel Epstein from Ozhorov said that MS, which is truth, and Shalom, which is peace, may not always appear to be congruent, meaning they don't always seem to align with one each other. Sometimes you think when MS, truth goes up, peace goes down, Shalom goes down. When Shalom goes up, MS goes down. And sometimes you have to bend the truth to maintain peace. There are times where you do that. Very simply in Hilchos Lashon Hara, what did Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so say about me? And you need not repeat that uncomplimentary remark. You may say that white lie. I don't know. I wasn't listening. That is not totally MS. That's Shalom. And in that case, it is necessary. If you want to avoid it somehow and not say anything, and you could to avoid saying this non-truth out of your lips, you can try. But very often one needs to do this to get the person off your back in a peaceful way. So this concept of always being truthful, but at the same time taking peace into consideration, is also something that we need to ask Hashem to give us wisdom to know how to do properly. Because the idea is like this: too often we rationalize why we may deviate from the truth, and then we insist others be truthful. So the first key is to be scrupulous yourself about being sincere and about being truthful before you demand it of others. And then Shalom will prevail. That's when truth and peace can go and coexist, where you demand from yourself truth. Now, we talked about it several times pertaining to Shalom Bayis or other types of things where you're allowed to change things, deviate from the MS somewhat because of peace, the famous quoting of Hashem himself when he quote-unquote misquoted Sarah that said, "V'adoni zaken," my master, meaning Avram, is old, and he, Hashem, switched it and said, "V'ani zakati," I am old. And we said that the Ben Yoyada writes that although that is 100% true, you could and should often bend the truth to keep peace, but the overall relationship has to be a relationship of emes, of truth, of honesty. That's why when we talked about it, it goes for marriages, but it goes for any type of interpersonal relationship too, with deep friendships. The ideal is to stick to the truth and honesty in the relationship. Even if something's difficult, you could say it tactfully, you could say it respectfully, you could sandwich it between two compliments, one before, one after. You could be with sincerity that is out of love, and you say it kindly and in a calm way, in a soft way. But it's ideal to just be honest and truthful with one another. If you constantly lie to keep a peace because you don't want to rock the boat, that's not a relationship at all. That's very unhealthy. Generally, it backfires terribly. You don't have another secret life behind the back of your wife or your husband and say, I'm just going to do this, even though my wife and husband is harmful to them, but I don't want to rock the boat, and I don't want to rock the concept of shalom, so I'm going to hide and have a double life. That's not what it means to be mishana b'pnei shalom. People make that mistake. It is wrong. In certain situations, you have to be tactful in the way you talk, but the relationship has to be truthful. The relationship has to be based on trust. The relationship has to be based on an honesty. And not deception. Because if it's based on deception, then shalom will not only not work, it will backfire. So this is, and also it's interesting, you know, we need to learn sometimes if people, they often go to, let's say, a doctor or a dentist, especially a dentist, that they have to get some type of root canal or cavity drilling and all of that stuff. And it's interesting when I hear sometimes people talk about different dentists and doctors, they say they have soft hands. And as no one enjoys going, obviously. But some seem to have these softer hands, a softer tone of voice in calming the patient down. And they make it as least painful as possible. Sometimes I hear people say it's an expensive dentist, but they have hands like butter, meaning when they have to give an injection or they have to drill, they're very soft in their tone of voice and in the way they handle it with a delicacy to make them feel very comfortable. This is the way we need to, in a psychological way, in a communication way, do the same thing when we have a close relationship, whether it's in a marriage, husband to wife, wife to husband, whether it's in a parent-child relationship, other types of relationship, that when you convey truth that is painful, you do it with soft gloves. You do it with a tongue of butter. You put that reproof or whatever needs to be conveyed in a way that hurts the least. Even the most compassionate dentist, and it was a big job, it will cause some pain, but the patient sitting in the chair understands this and sees how the dentist is trying to mitigate the pain and really makes it as comfortable as possible, and they have great appreciation for that. The same thing in a truthful relationship. If there's an honest relationship between a husband and a wife or in any sensitive relationship, and you convey truths that are painful, but the purpose is for correction, the purpose is to guide, the purpose is to bring further closeness, then you could word it in a way, you could learn the skill to bring it over in a way where that truth is not painful and or with the least pain possible. And whenever you could be Mishana B'Shalom, meaning use it very delicately, that's perfectly okay. And even the good thing. So again, the two Yesodos, both to daven for. Everything that we do is a skill that we work on, but it's also something that we both daven for as well, is ask for wisdom, ask for Eitzah to save us from snares and traps in this world, whether it is harmful pleasures that we run after, whether it is some excess unhealthy emotion that will cause us to behave in a negative way, and to ask Hashem to give us the wisdom to protect us, and for women in particular to access their Bina Yesera. If Hashem gave women a gift of Bina Yesera, a lot of it is inherent. You have it. It's in you. Hashem gave it to you. Nevertheless, it varies on the accessibility of it based on your prayers and based on your purity of heart and your willingness to connect with Hashem wholeheartedly. Remember, you're a daughter of Hashem. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to ask for this wisdom. You have it inherently, but Hashem, you ask Hashem, please help me use that gift the right way in my relationship to my husband or to my siblings or to my children or to anyone and everyone around us. Bracha v'atzlacha.